I'm here with Gordon Snyder and Perry Alexander. These gentlemen don't live in Alaska, but they're part of the Big Alaska Show family. Gordon Snyder, many of you know, is our Big Alaska Show science guy. And Perry Alexander, although you have only recently probably seen him or heard of him because we had him on a few weeks ago, he's out of North Carolina, but his work is seen and heard in the Alaska market all the time, more than Perry knows. Perry, your fingerprints are over Alaska without you even knowing.
Yeah, I feel like I hug the whole state.
Big state to hug.
Recently, you went through Hurricane Helene that happened a few weeks ago. Yep. And it was such a hydrologic impact that we brought in Dr. Gordon Snyder to talk about it, to give us perspective and initiate a discussion with us that would talk about just the effects of it, because part of that, it easily relates to us here in Alaska. And in fact, this morning I was talking to our deadliest catch Mythbuster over at his office, and they reminded me that it was just yesterday, or was it the day before, that we had our anniversary for the 7.2 earthquake we had in 2017. And it did a lot of damage in this town, and there was a lot of chaos, and there was a lot of need for people pulling together and services, et cetera, and impacted electricity and water. So having an event we need to be prepared for. Perry, you put together, I just received one of your updates, number 8. You have very, as normal, the Perry Alexander approach, to do a very good job of cataloging and reporting the effects of it and the impact. We'll also list the link to the last interview we did with you and Gordon talking about, because that was a few weeks ago, and since then, things have progressed. But I thought what would be interesting, Perry, is let's use your 8th hurricane update. You listed a number of metrics that I thought were very interesting. But since we last talked to you, give us a little update of where you are at with your home there in North Carolina.
Yeah, well, my wife and I were fortunate. We live out in the woods by maybe 10 minutes out of downtown Asheville. And we had a dozen trees go down, and all of them fell near our house, but none of them fell on our house, which hundreds and hundreds of people were less fortunate than that. So that's good. Of course, originally we lost electricity, phone, internet, and water altogether. And so the first couple of days we had nothing, but all that has come back. The water was the last thing to come back. We were 54 days without tap water, or at least without drinking water out of the taps.
Mm-hmm. Potable water, yeah.
We all got used to filling jugs at the community care center set up by the Red Cross and FEMA every couple, 3 days, and dumping water in the toilets and boiling water to cook, and that was all fun. And even still today, the city of Asheville has just issued a contract with FEMA for $39 million to install a temporary filtration system. Most of our water comes from a 20,000-acre pristine watershed reservoir, but with the hurricane, all kinds of stuff fell in there, and the turbidity, meaning the murkiness of the water, turned into chocolate milk. And it still is murky, but they figured out how to get it less murky so that we can drink it. And really, it looks clear now, but they're still working on it for a more permanent solution. Mm-hmm. So that continues, and it'll be another 6 months before that whole system is installed. And what they said yesterday was, we are one storm or windstorm or snowstorm away from the turbidity jumping back up and not allowing us to drink water again. So that's not the most comforting thing, but it is what it is. You know, we will take right. What we can get. So all together, we're back to normal. There are still tree limbs and branches and trunks and stuff up to the side of the road in many places around. There are still a number of places that were completely destroyed, and they're still working to put them back together. And, a lot of folks lost their homes. Some folks lost their lives and their loved ones. And we didn't, and so we're feeling very fortunate about that.
Yeah.
Now, what about the bridges? What's happened to the bridges that washed out? Is there a bunch of temporary bridges up, or what? I think
they said 80-some bridges damaged, with 23 washed out. This is just in our county. There were 17 counties affected, none of which have a town the size of Asheville. I mean, we are probably 200,000 people at most, even in the surrounding area. Let's say Buncombe County, the county we're in. But we lost 83 bridges. No, damaged 83 bridges, and 23 or something were washed away. So not only does that impact people, but bats live under bridges. And so I've been reading about the wildlife impact and the bats having to find other places to perch.
Yeah, interesting. Wouldn't have thought of that at all.
A question I was asking Gordon, you know, we've had forest fires, we've had various catastrophes that affect habitat, affect wildlife. You know, I don't know what the wildlife you have in your area, but you're, you know, you got some wildlife other than you and Mary Perry.
Yeah, well, it's almost all that Mary can take with just us, but
you know, this flooded things.
I've compiled a little list of ways it's impacted, and I can just run down through them if anybody wants to comment on them. So bats roosting under bridges are in trouble. Bears are ravenous from September to October because they're filling up the black bear. We have black bear all over the place here.
Some mountains.
And so they normally are eating everything in sight to get ready for winter. And so it's a bad thing. However, all the rotting garbage from people's homes that got exposed is a good thing. So well, I'm not sure what the impact on the bears was. Reports of seagulls. We're 1,000 miles from the Gulf Coast, but seagulls. Mm-hmm. Were washed. I mean, their flight patterns were crazy. And so laughing gulls are seen here. Migratory birds have been thrown off course by the hurricane. A large amphibian that lives in streams and rivers here that I've never seen one of, but it's called the hellbender. So many streams were just completely decimated. I mean, rerouted and everything else. And so, and there wasn't a plentiful amphibian, but they're in trouble. 600,000 trout were lost because there.
That river, a couple of those rivers look like beautiful trout fishing streams.
Oh, sure. And trout farms. Of course, shelter rocks and nests and dens and things like that. Toxic pollution left behind from floodwaters because, all kinds of stuff has flowed into those rivers that weren't in water before the floods came. So what does that do? The feral cats who normally climb trees and hide under mobile homes, they got into trouble. So now we move into trees. And North Carolina is the number two Christmas tree production state in the country. We normally produce 50 million Christmas trees annually. And there are 850 Christmas tree farms. One of the farms lost 60,000 Christmas trees. Oh. And so what they found is it's just the bottom 6 feet of the Christmas trees that are damaged. So they're snipping them off at the top and they're making tabletop trees and wreaths out of them. No joke.
My goodness.
So those are some of my statistics I've compiled.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some of those before and after shots, and I sent them to you in that CNN link. And when you do the sliders, it shows, you know, the stuff along around about probably August, maybe when it was all green and leafed out and that. And then you slide it over from the before to the after. And in every single case, everything is blown off of the branches. I mean, you'd hardly see anything green anywhere. It looks like a forest fire. Like they had in Lahaina over in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just, you see the shadows from the trees and just bare branches. Yeah. And then that's what I see on terrestrial side of things. But looking at the water course, what you said when you were talking about the amphibian and the trout, right. That thing was like running it through a rock polishing machine. And no biology worth anything can survive that. That goes from the algae and the fungi and the microorganisms, the insects that feed on that. That's all scoured out.
Yeah.
And so habitat is going to have to be reseeded from the little side streams and areas that, you know, were not as severely impacted, even though they were too, because they carried a volume of water. So
no question.
It's an eyesore just to look at it.
Well, yeah, no question. And of course, roads were washed out and buildings
along
streams, which were prime territory, are now, they don't even exist. There's no roadbed, there's no nothing. There's just a stream and a river there. And I noticed even on those slider shots that you showed me, and I've seen them quite a few pictures already, vehicle-sized boulders that were there in the before shots are not there now.
I mean, no, that little trout pool is gone. Yeah. You know, that formed behind the Mohawk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, the other time we talked about the water delivery system and the sewage system.
Right.
So when you say they're getting the water back up, that means that they're putting clean enough water through the pipes that they're not concerned about them depositing material inside the pipe, which is another problem.
Right.
So how's that progress going?
Yes, I think I mentioned earlier that we had like 54 or 55 days without potable water. That means water that we can drink. We had maybe 3 weeks of no water at all out of the faucet. Everything's dry. And so they decided, well, let's run some kind of water. So at least we can flush toilets and do that kind of, and boil water that we can get through the taps. So that was a big advance. But the turbidity has been a challenge to knock down. And I mean, the Corps of Engineers and all kinds of, in fact, there's one contractor from Alaska that's coming in here to work on the this longer term turbidity thing, and even a little bit of lead issue. There's not a big lead issue, but just to be safe, just today. And so even though, yes, we do have drinking water, it's patchworked a little bit to get us going and on our way. But the long-term solution is still months away. And all of this happened 9 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, and what about the water treatment facilities? Because those are usually right along the rivers.
Yes.
You know, and somewhere like that. So is that part of this toxic pollution you were talking about?
Interestingly, the sewage disposal has not been an issue. We personally are on a septic system, but there's been no news at all that I've seen.
That's a great plus.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a big plus.
I'm not sure why, but
yeah. Well. But maybe we ought to look at that design and back it up to the water treatment facilities. That's right.
Well, the water treatment is a multitude of things. We had a flood here a few years ago, I think 2004. And so they put a 24-inch and a 36-inch line 25 feet deep after that, one to back up the other. And those were all washed away in this hurricane.
Wow.
The 25 feet deep. 3-foot diameter line and, of course, the 2-foot. And so in 10 days, they had to go under a creek bed, a flowing creek bed, and built a new one in 10 days.
Amazing that stuff is. One of the things that I think is really important here, you know, the news is quit covering this stuff. Right. It's moved on.
Sure.
But the recovery is still there, and it's still a major, and a lot of people are still suffering greatly from this thing. You had a list, the little metrics you had come up and listed these little bullets just to give people an idea of just things we don't think about.
They've calculated $53 billion in damage statewide in about 43 deaths in our county. And because, again, Asheville is the most populous of the 17 counties that were affected here, most of them were here. We had 400 commercial buildings in our county were destroyed or significantly damaged. 900 housing units in our county were destroyed or significantly damaged. 100,000 homes statewide were destroyed or significantly damaged. 80% of the River Arts District, which is a wonderful little collection of artists and creative people down by the river, and it was a thriving tourist and local. It was just wonderful. 80% of that was destroyed, wiped away. And, of course, all the artwork, let alone the buildings and everything else, so gone. About 150,000 residents were cut off from water for 54 days. 3.5 million plastic water bottles were distributed by agencies in the county. 70% decline in tourism from October through December. And tourism is normally 20% of our economy. And I just read today that our unemployment rate is now 8.5% in our county. You know, it's around 2.5 to 3%. That's because so many workers just lost their jobs. Hospitality workers are gone. I mean, they couldn't afford, nobody's coming to town. And some of these things were wiped away. So they're just gone. We got 310 miles of Blue Ridge Parkway have reopened that were closed. It's about a 400 and some odd mile total length, but that's good. They had 350,000 cubic feet of storm debris were removed from the Blue Ridge Parkway. $24.5 million was raised in a concert for Carolina held in Charlotte.
That's pretty cool. That's cool. Yes.
Yeah, and it was a top name country and western people in an outdoor arena, and it was they had like 80,000 people come. It was amazing, and so all that came here. Repurposing down trees. FEMA is mulching up the wood and doing all kinds of stuff that to reuse the stuff that was taken down. Governor Cooper has asked for $25.5 billion in aid. Don't know quite where that is at this point, but that's a little cross section of.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you doing that because your updates have been really Harry Alexander worthy. You know, they're organized, they're thoughtful, they're very informative. Thanks. For those of us who live in Alaska that aren't near North Carolina, obviously, or even where Gordon's at in Washington, the one thing we all share in common is we're all susceptible to some kind of catastrophe.
Oh yeah,
and we forget just what it's like to be without water. What it's like to be without electricity. My being around Gordon and wetlands and learning from him and your experience really brings it home. And we see it up here. I mean, we're right on the fire line of earthquakes, and we get little shakers all the time. By the way, you can tell people who are in the original earthquake, they're the first ones to the door jams.
You bet. We know where those are. Yeah, better yet, get out of the building.
But the thing that I think is really important here too is the resilience of people and the willingness to really jump in. When we need gamers, we have people who are there, and that's so inspiring. And I knew we didn't have a whole lot of time here to cover, and I wanted to, and I know that I can sit back and listen to you and Gordon talk about this stuff all day, because Gordon's got a million questions, and all he has to say is, what about this, Perry? And Perry's got, well, you know, interesting, I found, it's like, we need to have the Perry Alexander School of Journalism. We need to bring it, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Hugging Alaska with the School of Journalism.
I wanted just this time to bring you back and just touch on this a little bit. We're going to list the links that Gordon is talking about. We're also going to put the link to your previous interview, because that's a really good one that sets it up. And that was right after these things had happened. And Perry, the things you put together are historically invaluable for people who are history buffs and want good information, and they usually go to newspapers.
I might suggest one more link. There was a video that was produced by a Charlotte TV station in late October called The Day the Lights Went Out. And the thumbnail for that video is a picture, a satellite picture at night of the United States and the path that the hurricane took all the way from the Gulf up past us is just flat dark. So
yes, looked like it just was an eraser on a blackboard.
Yeah, that's remarkable. But the video itself, it's a full hour long minus commercial, so it's about 43 minutes. It's really well done.
Put that link in there.
We'll list all this stuff, and I appreciate you taking the time, guys. And let's give our good buddies Perry Alexander, Gordon Snyder, a big Alaska Show thank you, and continue success.